This quarter, we've been looking at things that can help us grow and remain faithful as Christians. You know, we've looked at a lot of different things. We've looked at a couple of things that really form a very strong foundation for our Christian life, for our Christian growth, and for remaining faithful. We've looked at prayer. We've looked at Bible study last week. You know, it's the very basis and the foundation that we've got to have in our lives to remain strong and to be able to grow and to strengthen ourselves. But there's a lot of other things that we need to grow as Christians. And one of those things we're going to take a look at this morning in class, because we're going to be taking a look at giving. Now, you know, when we talk about giving, I'm sure a lot of people's thoughts are, how is that going to help me remain faithful as a Christian? You know, what does that have to do with me being faithful as a Christian? So, before we start looking at some of the scriptures about giving, I'd just like some ideas. You know, what does giving have to do with our remaining faithful as Christians and growing as Christians? Any thoughts or ideas? Yes. Okay, it shows where your priorities are. Good. Any other thoughts?
Spreads the gospel.
Okay. It spreads the gospel, which can help certainly bring others to Christ and to salvation. All right. Let's go ahead and take a look at some things from the scriptures. In Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 43, there's a little story that's told about Jesus and an observation that he makes. This is from Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 43. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all that she owned and all that she had to live on." We go through the lesson today and take a look at some of the things that the Scripture says about giving. I hope we keep this passage in our minds as we think about what we're going to be looking at. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, a lot of us think of that as a great commission. And we probably, a lot of us in here could actually quote the verses. But I wanted to focus on verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age." One of the commandments we have in the New Testament, and one of the things that Jesus actually talked about in the Gospels, and the Apostles wrote about to the Christians, is giving. The attitude towards giving. What our attitude needs to be towards material possessions that we have, and especially what our attitude needs to be towards God in all facets of our life. When we take a look at giving, there's a lot of attitudes that we need to keep, and there's a few passages. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, especially verses 1 and 2, several different points through this lesson. So those of you who could, if you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. Okay, David, if I could get you to read that for us, please. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Okay. So, with the contribution, which is a part of our giving, is to be done on a weekly basis. And, you know, Paul was writing to the Corinthians and wanting them to take up a collection on a weekly basis so that there would be money there for use for the congregation, and also money there so that when Paul came, he'd be able to pick up a collection, which he was going to be taking to the minister to the saints in Jerusalem because they were going through a famine. And so he wanted it to be there. So when we take a look at our worship, we're going to be looking at taking up a contribution on the first day of the week. And we're going to be taking a look at some other parts of this because, you know, Paul also wrote, each one of you. So each one of us needs to look at our own life and ourselves and think about what we are going to be giving, what our contribution is going to be. Because we have to think about it on our own basis. Even though we're taking up the contribution as the congregation, then it's going to be on the individual basis that we give. And, you know, we also need to realize that when we're talking about giving, even though we're going to be focusing quite a bit on the contribution and our thought behind it, our giving is not limited or regulated by what we put into the contribution plate when it's passed around. Our giving involves our time. It involves our effort and things we volunteer with, the things that we do. And it involves the money that we use for God's purposes outside of this corporate congregation together. You know, if we support, you know, Apologetics Press on a monthly basis or on a weekly basis or whatever, if we send money down to our missionaries or down to other missionaries for the church in Paraguay or Africa or parts of the U.S., that's part of our giving as well. And, you know, those are things that we need to keep in mind when we make decisions. You know, if we help somebody that's in need in our neighborhood, or if we help, you know, somebody that the food bank that needs food, that's also giving that we're doing on behalf of God, because we are Christians, and that's part of our life, part of our lifestyle, and part of the things that we do. So even though we're focusing quite a bit on giving as regards to our contribution, all of us need to keep in mind that, you know, when we put that check or that money in the contribution plate, that's not the end of our responsibility to God. That's not an end of what we need to be doing to fulfill His will. So we're going to take up a contribution on a weekly basis, and each one of us is going to give for, as we've thought about, as we've decided. And also in verse 2, it says, as he has prospered. So, you know, we need to look at our income, at what we're making, and then we need to make a decision based on that. And we need to, you know, periodically evaluate what we're giving. You know, what we were giving 3 years ago may not be the appropriate amount for what we're giving now. So it needs to be an ongoing evaluation. Just as in every part of our life, we need to be going through an ongoing evaluation. It's very easy for us as Christians to get to a point where we just kind of plateau. And we just kind of sit there coast for a while. And then what's going to inevitably happen is we're going to start going downhill if we don't continue to reevaluate our life and continue to try and grow through Bible study, through prayer. If we don't evaluate the things that we do with our life, with our giving, with where our priorities are, then we're going to slowly coast down, and at some point, you know, we may end up where we don't care about what Jesus wants us to do. We don't care about God's commandments, and that's where we don't want to go as Christians. Sally?
Number one,
And those are both the points that we're going to be getting to later in the class, because we're going to be talking about stewardship, you know, because what we have has been given to us, and we're responsible for how we use it. And we're going to be talking, you know, about three attitudes towards giving later on, you know, grudging giving, obligational giving, and cheerful giving, you know, because we need to look at our attitudes when we give. Now, also, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 and Romans 12, 6 through 8. On that, Richard, could I get you to read 2 Corinthians 9 and 6? And David, could I get you to read Romans 12, 6 and 8? Second Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Go ahead.
Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously.
Okay. And David, Romans 12, 6 through 8.
Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, service in his serving, if he who teaches in his teaching, if he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Okay. Thank you. So in Corinthians, you know, Paul's writing, and he's urging us to give liberally. And in Romans, where the writer of Romans, Paul's writing, and you know, he's talking to people. Some of these had spiritual gifts, but some of the things that he's talking about apply to us even without the miraculous gifts of the Spirit. You know, whatever you've got, whatever your abilities, you need to utilize those to the maximum amount that you can for the Lord. You know, if it's mercy, then you need to be merciful. You know, you don't want to try and hold back on the mercy that you give. You know, if you're teaching, you want to be a good teacher, the best teacher that you can, so you're going to work at it. And if you're giving, you want to give with liberality, because you want to work on that. Or actually, I shouldn't say if you give, when you give. It would be a more appropriate way to put that. You know, it needs to be part of what you focus on, what you work on. Okay. And Richard, if you're still in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you could read verse 7 also. Thanks. There's the verse that Sally was referring to just a little bit ago. You know, because we need to give as we've decided in our hearts, and not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Because, you know, it's something that, like all parts of our lives, we need to think about, we need to focus on, and we need to periodically revisit to see where we're at and ways in which we can in which we can grow. And when it comes to giving, we need to be thankful for what we have, you know, because, you know, a lot of times we tend to focus on the financial struggles that we have, and I imagine every one of us in here has certain financial struggles. Some people's struggles are on different levels than other people's struggles. But we all have struggles, and I'm sure there's always times when we think, boy, I wish I had more money. You know, it would sure make my life a whole lot easier. But we also need to realize that the struggles that we have, even though they're difficult for us and hard for us to deal with, we have to realize how blessed that we really are. For those of us who've had the privilege to spend some time in certain places overseas, and you see the struggles just to have any kind of food to put in their stomachs, to have any kind of clothes to wear, don't even have sewage systems, don't have running water, don't have electricity. To see how a lot of people in this world live, then we realize that the struggles that we have and that we have to deal with are really pretty insignificant, even though they seem really large to us because they affect us. You know, they're the things that we deal with every day. You know, we don't have to live in the barrios in Peru or, you know, in one of the slums of Haiti. You know, so that's not our reality. That doesn't affect us. But we still need to be aware of the fact that any one of us in here is richly blessed compared to so many people in the world. And we need to be thankful to God for what we have and be accountable for what we do with what we have. Also, when we're looking with our attitude, you know, with a cheerful heart in the last part of 2 Corinthians 9, also in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, 2 Corinthians 8, 11 and 12. But now, finish doing it also, so that just as there was a readiness to desire it, so there may also be the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. So with the idea, you know, that we need to think about what we're giving, and we need to be liberal in what we give, but we're only going to be judged by what we have. We're not going to be judged in comparison to someone else. You know, there's someone who, you know, is making $250,000 a year. You know, they're going to be judged on their attitude and on what they give. You know, and if we're making $30,000, we're going to be judged on our attitude and what we give. We're not going to be judged in comparison to anyone else. You know, it's just as our salvation is dependent on the love and mercy of God and on our own actions, our own faith, and our own belief. So our judgment for our giving is based on our individual considerations and our individual decisions. You know, and so we need to keep that in mind and in an understanding. And let's also take a look at Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Novell, would you be willing to read that, please? Romans 12, 1 and 2. We need to be able to give sacrificially. We've already read the story of the widow who was giving and the attitude that she had in her giving. It's also, let's take a look at the example of the Macedonians. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in the earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. So here Paul is talking about the Macedonian Christians. You know, he's talking about what they have done because they first gave themselves to God. You know, everything that they were involved in was because that they first gave themselves to God. They had an overabundance of joy. And that giving themselves to God and the abundance of joy was manifested in the liberality of their giving. And they were urging Paul to take money from them to help pay for the work that he was doing. And, you know, Paul was giving them thanks for that. And he was saying, you know, that their gift and their help was enabled him to teach the gospel. And as a result, they were partakers in the ministry that he had. They were co-workers with him because they helped support him. You know, and he was using this as an example to the Corinthians about, you know, about their giving and about their thoughts and what they were involved with as well. Okay. So we've taken a look at what some of our attitudes should be and the reason behind it. Yes, Sally?
There's a lot of people in the church today. They don't know how to give. God's like, this is saying, give yourself first to God. There's a lot of people talk about tithe, they don't tithe and all that. We don't tithe.
Because in the Jewish law, you know, there was a specific amount that was required of the Jews to give. But when we get to the New Testament, you know, we're not given a specific amount because so much of the New Testament is talked about attitudes that shape our behavior, attitudes that guide the things that we say, the things that we do. And so there's not as much of a, I guess you could say, legalistic framework. I mean, there's certainly still laws and commandments that we are told to obey and things that we're told to do. But under the Old Testament, under the Jewish law, there was so much that was, you know, you give a tenth here, you have your first fruits here, you sacrifice a turtle dove or a bullock here, you sacrifice a lamb here. But for us as Christians, you know, it's focused more on our heart, which when our heart is right with God, it's going to direct our activities and our actions. Now, that's not an excuse to say that, you know, if we're given 1% of our income, then, you know, we should just be perfectly happy with that. You know, whatever we're giving, we need to look at that for ways that we can increase that amount for the glory of God and the service of God. Trina?
But even in the Old Testament, God was teaching the Israelites a proper attitude in coming to Him when they were offering sacrifices. They were to bring the best. They were to bring the first fruits. He was always to be thought of first, not left over like, you know, I'm going to pay all this and go out to eat and do all that, and I'm going to give God the leftover. It was when they came, and we can transfer it over to us, too, in looking at, you know, when you look at your paycheck, you look at the gross, you know, and you say, okay, how much, what you have to pay in it, what are you going to give God? And, you know, in ourselves, too, what do we, I'm not saying that I'm the best person. I don't always do like I should. But I'm saying in teaching in the Old Testament, you taught to give of yourselves the best of who you are. You know, dress yourself nicely. Come, give your best to God first. And that's an attitude that transfers over from the Old Testament into the New Testament, too. Is, you know, we are to give God the best that we have at all times.
Yes. You know, I don't want to give the idea that, you know, in the Old Testament, God didn't care about attitude, because He did. But, you know, in the New Testament, everything that we do should be because of our attitude, because of our heart, you know, that we go from there. But, you know, as Trina said, with the Jews, you know, they were supposed to give the first fruits of the harvest. You know, when they gave for sacrifice, it was supposed to be unblemished. It was supposed to be the best. You know, it wasn't, well, this one's kind of lame and it's not going to grow up anyway, so we'll offer it as a sacrifice. You know, it was supposed to be something that meant something to them, that represented their obedience and their love to God. And it's the same thing to us. You know, it's, you don't want your contribution to be an afterthought. You know, you want it to be, well, it's Sunday, what I have left in my wallet, okay, this is what I'm giving. You know, it needs to be something that's planned out, something that's prayed about, and something that you have already set aside, you know, because that's important for you. You know, I mean, we set aside, or at least we try to, the money for our mortgage, you know, because that's important. We want to keep a roof over our head, or for our rent, if we're renting. You know, and in the same way, we need to think about ahead of time and set aside the money that we're going to use for our contribution and the money that we're going to be dedicating to God and giving to Him. Now, we're going to take a look at some of the reasons for giving in the New Testament pattern. You know, we've talked about some of them because of our love for God, because of the blessings that we've had and the things that we've been given. But, you know, for one thing, it is a commandment. You know, we've talked quite a bit about our heart and our attitude. And, you know, if we love God and if we're thankful for what we have, then we're going to give back to Him. We're going to give back our time. We're going to give back our love, our faith. We're going to give back our money. And we're going to do that. But it is also a commandment, you know, because God wants the church to be able to spread the gospel, wants the church to be able to help take care of some of the needs that its members may have or that other people may have. And, you know, and if we're going to have a place to meet, you know, we've got to keep the lights on. And I think most of us would appreciate the air conditioning most of the year round, you know, and things like that, that we need to take care of. And so we have, you know, a need to contribute so that this congregation or whatever congregation that we happen to be a member of can fulfill the design that God has for the local church. There are also blessings that come with the proper attitude towards giving. We'll take a look at some of these. There's seven verses that we'll be reading. That Jim, could you read Acts 20, 35? David, Luke 6, David Brown, I'm sorry, Luke 6, 38. And David Roth, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. And Mike Erickson, Matthew 6, 33. And then Tommy, could you read Proverbs 3, 9 and 10? And to have someone who would be willing to read Luke 18, 28? Okay. Okay, so we'll go ahead and start with Acts chapter 20 and verse 35.
In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, you must help the weak. Remember the word the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Okay, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, Luke 6, 38.
Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom for the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
Mm-hmm. Malachi 3, 8 through 10.
Will a man rob God? You are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and in contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me now, then, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing until there is no more and no need.
Amen. Thanks. Matthew 6, 33.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things.
2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. In Luke 18, 28 through 30.
Peter said, behold, we have left our own homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life.
All right, thank you. You know, as we look at some of these passages in the Old and the New Testament, where you know the Scripture is talking about giving, and you know it's talking about our attitudes, it's talking about you know what we're giving, and you know in Malachi, talking to the Jews, you know, if you're not, he was telling them that if they weren't doing what they were supposed to in accordance with the Mosaical law, they were in effect robbing God. And you know, the same idea to us, that if we're not giving, if we're not purposing in our hearts, and if we're not living in accordance with that, you know, we're not meeting what God wants us to do. And in effect, we're robbing God. There's also the promise that, you know, if we are purposing in our hearts and if we're giving, then God is going to reward us for having the right attitude and for what we're doing with His blessings, you know, which sometimes can be physical, material blessings. Sometimes there are spiritual blessings, but there's always the blessing of eternal life and salvation in heaven. That is a promise to his children and to Christians. You know, we were talking about, Sally brought up a stewardship. The idea of a steward is one who has responsibility for someone else's money or lands or property. I don't know. The idea of an absentee landlord who has some property and he doesn't live there, but he has somebody who takes care of it for him. Someone who makes decisions for about how to, you know, what crops to plant, where to sell, who to hire, who to fire, all that type of thing. And then that person is responsible to take the proceeds and handle them properly, to reinvest some of them, to send some of it to the landlord. You know, that's the idea of what a steward is. You know, and sometimes stewards may be corrupt. They may be trying to put some of that money in their pocket. Sometimes they might be lazy, just not wanting to put in the work. And as a result, if they don't put in the work, the property is going to go down and it's not going to be worth as much. So this is some of the imaging that's used in the New Testament when it's talking about people's material possessions. Because we're referred to as stewards. You know, we're responsible for the things that God has given us. For all the money, for the property, for the things that we have. And that means we're responsible for how we use it as well. That means that we need to look at it as not mine, I can do what I want with it, you know, but rather that it's God's, and we need to use it for His glory and for His advancement, as well as to take care of our needs. And we need to make sure that we don't confuse needs with wants, which is very easy to do. Yes?
I was really humbled this summer teaching over at Samoa, and I had the 1st and 2nd Corinthians that I was teaching. So I started out with 1st Corinthians. It took about a week to get through that part. And I got to know the people pretty well that I was with. And I could see that they were really in poverty. So when it came to 2nd Corinthians and I was teaching about giving, you know, as I was studying for it, in my heart I was wondering, why should I teach them about giving? You don't have it. And yet, I was talking to Robert and really thinking about it in depth, and looking at the context of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Paul's teaching to them is to give out of their poverty. And it's not so we can do that cheerfully and with a spirit of thankfulness that we can really experience God's gift to us for the things that we do have. And it was really a humbling experience to be there and to see their willingness to listen to God's word and respond. And it doesn't matter how much money. It's not about the money. It's about our heart and our not just responsibility to God, but our willingness and our cheerfulness to give back to Him what He's blessed us with.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, you know, because that's the whole overriding idea that I want to get across, you know, is that what we give needs to be because of our love and because of our trust in God. And it's something that we need to think about. And if we're going to grow as Christians, it's something that we have to put into our lives and to periodically reassess. Thank you all very much.